Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
Hopefully our camera records the whole time. For this episode,
it cut off.
It got too hot.
Yeah,
the heat.
I listen to every episode. I watch episodes on occasion.
Okay.
So for people, for the folks who watch, like yeah, there are folks that watch.
Well, hopefully, it doesn't cut out. My battery was at 20% too.
Brad,
so
what the fuck, bro?
We'll see what happens. Living on the edge.
Brad's a very much "we'll see what happens" kind of guy. The more you hang out with him, you see the theme here.
But we got the windows open, so might get a little background noise. But we're keeping it cool in here.
Yeah, man. At the studio, man.
Yeah.
Just like old times,
we're
man.
Drinking some Kolsch. Or no, cream ale, sorry.
Beguile cream ale.
Yeah.
Picnic Island.
I sort of think we've had this before on the show, and so this might be one of those beers that we've repeated now.
It's this is
far brew, in between.
Brew with your boy, Cletus Freeman. The only white guy you ever meet named Cletus.
Sure.
Right? And he was a former chef at City Provisions.
Right, and then at the defunct now Fountainhead.
Oh, man.
We see a trend here.
Rest in peace, Fountainhead. Fountainhead is still vacant.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
That's surprising because it is like a nice spot, and it's got the rooftop probably in the, I don't know, the zoning for it and everything. So it's shocking that someone doesn't take that over, but opening up a restaurant now, it's got to be hard.
Yeah. And I remember Cletus had a run of, like, different crews that he was doing beers with.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's a chef at, what you call it? Theater on the Lake on that division. I'm sorry, Fullerton.
Oh,
Fullerton,
okay.
Lakeshore Drive, that newish venue.
Yeah.
He's the chef there. He's the, like, exec chef there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I realize that. So. But, yeah, this cream ale's hitting the spot right now on these summer days.
Man, I wish I could talk more about cream ale as a style, but, I mean, this is hitting the spot. Like, you know, even if you've been drinking all day and, you know, you come in and have this, it just feels right. And then also it's like you just have no complaints about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what I like about cream ales is they have, like, a bigger mouthfeel than a Kolsch. It's, like, crisp and it's done. A cream ale is, like, pillowy and sort of, like, fills your mouth like you drank something. Like, it's not that it's more refreshing, but you got more out of it, and you can think about it a little longer. That's something I like about cream ales a little bit.
Yeah, I was pulling up my notes from the app about cream ales, and, like, just trying to see if we can find any just commentary about it. They just talk about pre-Bosch. Oh, history. An ale version of American-style lager is how they describe it. Produced by ale producers to compete with lager breweries in Canada and the Northeast and the Midwest.
So it's like, why didn't you just brew lagers? They're like, yeah, we can't make them lagers.
Right.
Let's make something like a lager.
We don't have time. Also, we don't have time.
Oh, we don't have time to make those lagers. We got to get this out.
You know, the people have been working. This is the Great Depression. The people are thirsty. Get them this goddamn cream ale. Get it now.
Yeah, we're running these during Prohibition. We're going to get busted before this is done. Get them the cream ales.
Right. So,
man. That's funny. All right. But yeah, Picnic Island from Beguile. I swung by there this afternoon, rode the electric bike over there.
Nice.
I also grabbed the Papers,
what's
the
that?
Session Barley Wine.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
The 3% Session Barley
That's
Wine.
That's insane.
So I think we'll do a video with that, pending battery life here. So yeah, we'll get through this episode and then drink some session barley wine. Sounds good. So we had a big week.
You know, I saw Brad on the weekend. I never see Brad on the weekend.
I know.
You
know? Twice.
Man. So nice we had to do it twice.
All right. Let's see. I had been talking to some friends, and we were talking about doing a brewery bike ride. Yeah. But keeping it simple, none of this Three Floyds, Penrose.
Not as wild as it could have gotten in the bike
tight
brewery
heads
days.
Kind of right. Ride. We kept it real simple, but we decided to add due to three breweries.
Mm-hmm.
So, but each brewery is about 3 miles apart. So we did like from my house to Printer's Row, Printer's Row to Unani, and then Unani to Sketchbook, and then Sketchbook all the way back. Probably could have threw in like Old Irving on the way back if we want to do a fourth one. But that was the ride, and it was a great day for it. Everyone had patios open. Everyone was hanging out outside, so it was great. And Printer's Row was celebrating their 1 year anniversary.
Now, I missed the Printer's Row stop. I caught up a little later on Brad's adventure, and I did not have a bike. Okay. I just drove to stop 2 and 3.
Okay.
And Brad started at Printer's Row, stop mm-hmm. 1.
That was nice. They tapped a session IPA that day. So, red solo cup sitting outside.
Really?
Yeah. that's how they rolled over there, I guess. You know.
Proceed to party.
Didn't want glass on the sidewalk or anything like that, so... They had lots of tables. They had the street blocked off. Had a magician for the kids. Okay. Lots of kids out that day. Session IPA was nice. Just had one there and kind of moved on. I don't know. I think we talked about it last time about Printer's Row. I sort of have a it's fine.
Yeah.
Opinion about Printer's Row, and now I've been there twice in the past couple of months. It's just like,
well, it's close. It's a local ish.
Right. And it's like, how many times can I go to Old Irving or Burning Bush or even Bagaya? And I'm like, all right, well, Printer's Row is like the next thing over.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, it's surprisingly small. I think ever since Spiteful closed, this is probably the smallest footprint of a brewery, right, in the city probably.
Possibly, yeah.
It's really tiny. It looks like a little taco joint.
Right,
like, super fucking small. And did they have, because they're near other breweries. Were they pouring other beers, or this was just their celebration?
They had Aris cider in cans.
Okay.
And possibly a kombucha, but I could be wrong.
Mm.
They did have someone else. They did have not Lake Effect.
No.
Sometimes they had Lake Effect last time, but they did have someone else, like a guest tap on.
Yeah.
Because they've got a small system, so they're. If they're having a party, it's probably easier to be like, oh, we have a guest beer on just to like help us get through that.
Yeah. I remember vaguely something about how they were brewing that. They own the company, the crew who owns that also owns an aquarium shop, whatever those are called.
Oh, right, okay.
And they were brewing at the aquarium
fish
shop.
Fish store.
Yeah, or a fish store. And then they and then they decided, you know, we can't be making beer in this fish store. We need to get our own spot.
The fish is getting in the beer. It's not...
But, you know, this is in my head, so this had to have been said at some point, you know. So.
Nice. But then from there, rode out to Unani, where I met up with Nick and Afro Beer Chick.
Right on.
And I had never been to Unani / Hubbard's Cave.
Really?
This location. I've been to the one that was in the strip mall, in the Korean strip mall. It was all, like, Korean restaurants and, like,
there's even, like, a fucking Bollywood movie theater.
Yeah.
This is the weirdest fucking strip mall you'll ever go to.
And the pancake place.
Yeah.
So this new location, it's, like, behind a Costco.
Yeah. Basically. Way closer to the city, and it's right behind the Leaning Tower of Niles.
Oh, yeah. We saw that. So we were on a mission, though, so we didn't take any pictures. Huge patio. No bike racks, but everyone just kind of brings their bike into the patio. That seemed to be what the theme was.
You know, unintentional comedy was, you know, Brad and JB and Maeve and the gang are just glancing over to people taking their own bikes, and they're like, man, are they taking our bikes?
Right. That's like full on like city like paranoia. Be like, wait. Why you buy my stuff?
Right. That was pretty funny. So it's a barbecue joint, and then, you know, the infamous Hubbard's Cave extension had a lot to do with them being a sour and a Belgian brewery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the distributor didn't believe that they could sell IPAs. So the brewer's response to that was just to start another brand and call it Hubbard's Cave just for his IPAs and pales.
Right. And Hubbard's Cave is a ode to them starting on Hubbard Street.
Yeah.
And they have a sign in the tap room area for Hubbard Street.
And now we have a photo in front of that sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous photo.
And we got some glassware out of it.
We were forced to purchase the glass before we could get the IPA for the Hubbard's Cave sign.
Yeah, they had a deal going on where any basically fresh IPA or whatever they're calling it, if you bought it, you got this glass and you could take it home. So we did that.
I think right before you showed up, I think Shalonda got a stout. And their stouts are big and kind of sweet, like almost a little too sweet. But she got like a stout with strawberry in it. And then I got two sours. One was the Le Fin de Monde, which is they are known for, like, you know, they're extremely sour, puckering, rip the enamel off your teeth type of sours.
Okay.
And, you know, you have the option to buy a whole year's worth in advance, right, for like $400 or something. The Le Fin du Monde series.
Okay, okay.
So I got one of those in blackberry, I think, with vanilla, which is actually pretty good, but as tart as you would think it is.
Yeah.
And then I got something else called a beer cocktail, where they kind of paired the sour with a Belgian wit just to kind of bring down some of the sourness. And I thought that was the sweet spot for me of all the beers I tried that day.
Okay.
Was that fucking
like cocktail one.
Beer cocktail or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, I think Maeve might have went with that off your recommendation when we showed up. I ended up getting, I think they had a Kolsch or a Pilsner from Hubbard's Cave. And after biking, I was like, just give me that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I felt like. Although, you know, you're right. They're known for these big stouts, but I was not in the mood for a stout. It was like summertime and big stouts. I know it's a thing.
You're like,
no,
fuck that.
No thanks.
Yeah.
But when you can also order food, and they do like a table check kind of thing. The barbecue comes out, I think, faster than the beer comes out.
That was noteworthy. How fast the food came out.
Like how. I understand when you're at like district brew yards and you're like going down the cafeteria line and you're like, give me that. Okay, I'm out of here. But this is like, I'll get this Kolsch and this barbecue or these pulled pork sliders. And they both come out like almost instantly.
Pretty much at the same time. It's kind of weird. Yeah. I went with the brisket chili and whatever their cornbread biscuits were.
Yeah.
So.
Only having it once, I can't like say how great the barbecue is or anything, but it felt it was fine.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
is smoke the gold standard locally?
I think
north. North. Well, it's close.
Green Mill or Green Street.
Green Street Meats.
I think Green Street Meat is the standard.
Good. It's pretty good.
Smoke is quality.
Yeah, so I think you go. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
You go Green Street. You go Smoke, and then whatever that third layer is.
Yeah, maybe it's Lily Q. Like I would put it in there, but then.
And then I think Unani kind of plays in the level after that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're in like a third, fourth tier. Like it was good. I felt like I was lacking with the barbecue sauce choices.
What's the joint? It's a barbecue joint near Printer's Row. You know what I'm talking about? I feel like we've discussed it before.
Smoked with the one that I was like, they had baked ribs. And you were like, I've been there. I was like, I don't want baked ribs.
Earl's barbecue. Yeah.
It's not something you advertise. Like
why are you baking these? Yeah, that was the talk. It's like, why are we baking these ribs?
Yeah. I don't understand. It's like, hey, we do pizza in the oven. Like, all right, I don't know. Or like, we do microwave pizza. Yeah. I don't think that's what you want to like tell people. The dive bar is not advertising their microwave pizza.
So yeah, it was like, the barbecue's fine. The beer, I think, but you know, what is it? Like Half Acre. I love their beer. I don't know if I love their food as much as I love their beer.
And that's why Big Star was going to take over the food. Because people are like, it's good, but it's not like, I'm not coming here for the food. And I wouldn't go to Udine Hubbard's Cave for the barbecue. I'm going for the beer.
Yeah. I think it's kind of hard to, so we're not singling them out. I think it's hard to have the beer and the food just kind of be an equal conversation. I think, you know, I think Cruz Blanc and Haymarket do a good job of that.
Right.
Where they're, I don't know, they're very close. The food and the beer are a closer gap than these other places we named.
Yeah. Maybe Haymarket's a little farther now that they've pared down the menu. But previously, I would just go there. I kind of enjoy the burgers and the pizza.
Equally as much as the beer.
But I don't go to District Brew Yards because of the Lily Q is there. So you go there for the beer.
Didn't mean to go on a food tangent. But this is a hardcore food hall, too.
Yeah. You know? So. But knowing that they have food is like a great, I don't know, it's good for the stop and the places you're going to, especially on a bike ride, or if you're looking for a destination spot, if you could do two, you need one with food. That's just how your day is going to go.
That's true. Yeah.
So them offering food is great. The space is huge. The patio or the back, it's like a backyard.
I feel like the backyard might be bigger than the inside.
I think so.
The inside for seating. You know, inside of the venue, a lot of it is dedicated to tank space. But just the seating area on the inside, I think the outside might be just as big or, you know, if not bigger.
Yeah. Is it bigger than Sketchbook Skokies? Are they about the...
Wow.
I think it is a little bigger.
You think so? Sketchbook definitely feels bigger. The outside piece feels bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe because there's no tent.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's it. But... Unani feels like you're hanging out in someone's backyard, because of the tent. Like you're there for I'm here for your 4th of July cookout, whoever birthday this is.
And it's all wood bench seating.
Right. Yeah. It feels very friendly. I don't know.
You were telling a wild story about, because I had never been to the Hubbard's Cave when it was just actually on Hubbard Street, but you had been.
Where Jerry, is it Jerry Nelson?
Yeah, Jerry Nelson. Yeah.
He invited Ken Hunnameter and I, and we shot a Hopcast there. So there is a Hopcast video probably on YouTube or Vimeo.
Now I want to watch that.
Of us interviewing him. And he talks about basically building all of the equipment that he's brewing on. Finding basically bathtubs or what. No, it wasn't bathtubs, but
But non-brewing stuff to make beer with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's what is happening here? And the beer was, it was tasty then, but it's man, this guy is putting his heart into this thing.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see.
That's powerful stuff. And he's probably a one-man gang, one-man wrecking crew. And then, taking non-beer equipment and repurposing it for beer is, a theme around here.
Yeah.
Pipeworks first location, I hung out with their distributor who told the story about how they went and got, there was a milk production facility out south near Argus, and the original Pipeworks brewing equipment, a lot of it was deconstructed, milk production equipment. But taking other, but that's a theme, taking stuff and making it beer stuff. Making it beer equipment is a theme.
Mm-hmm. And although I don't drink Unani Hubbard's Cave very often, I love the story of him and just having met Jerry multiple times in the beer world. And I remember one time the night Dry Hop opened for the preview party for media and friends, he was there, and he's I'm planning to open a brewery hopefully in the next year. And that's one of those, so many people have said that to you over the years, or me, and it's sure, cool, good luck, right. I don't know. And he did it, and now it's third location and it's bigger every time. That's awesome, man.
And kudos to him for standing up to his distro, who telling him you can only be a Belgian in sour brewery.
Yeah.
Telling his distro to shut the fuck up, and him defining what he wanted to be. I think, that's admirable. And I salute that. And I actually drink his IPAs more than I drink his Belgians and his sour.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do now, especially sour stuff is sort of taking a back seat.
If I'm there, I go to his place to drink the sours. But if I'm if I see a shit in the store, I'm drinking the IPAs.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Then from Unani, we the bike crew and the car crew. we all went over to Skokie in the Sketchbook.
Brad may have these cool electric bikes, and I kind of wanted to swap off with them and take the electric bikes, and they hot rap in the car. But Brad took his real bike.
Yeah, I took the normal single-speed bicycle.
And I'm there's no way I'm riding 3 miles in this shit. I can't ride a bike right there. We've been drinking for 2 hours, and I'm not built for that. That's not, I'm not a bike to breweries guy. But I thought about it.
Yeah, so we got over to a Skokie Sketchbook, where I've now only been there on a bike. I've never, drove to Skokie Sketchbook.
Man. Skokie's first brewery and Sketchbook's second location. talk about interviews. I remember clearly we interviewed the Sketchbook Gang, shout out to Sean Curry, at the original location right before they expanded into the next door space. And they were talking about, you know, I don't know if it was on or off camera. They were talking about this thing that they're doing.
I think it was off camera, like letting us know, hey, we're doing this.
Yeah. I think they were fed up with the contract brewing scenario. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, we'd rather just go own our own, I guess, supply chain, for lack of a better term. We just want to own our ecosystem. We don't want to brew anywhere else. Yeah. We want to own all the things we brew on. So.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we were, not only it was on like the bike tour stops, but you wanted to stop there. There was a beer that got released that was like a collaboration beer, or was it a collaboration, or was it a beer in honor?
No, it was a collab with the Black Beer Baron.
Okay.
So cheers to him. That's Jay Westbrook. So he was one of the guys that was on the Uncommon Ground, the Uncommon Ale project with Haymarket. Okay. Yeah. So he made a beer with the Sketchbook guys, and it was called Pathways to Liberation. So it's a long title. Freedom-ish, semicolon, Pathways to Liberation.
Okay.
So I wanted to try that beer. But then when we get there, apparently it's an entire series of products with the Freedom-ish title, right, which was kind of confusing because they got, I want to say they got the tea and then they got the seltzer, right?
A non-alcoholic tea just called Pathways.
Yeah.
And it was a hibiscus, I think, tea, non-alcohol. And then they had a seltzer on that Maeve got that was the same color as the Pathways that you got. So it's a little confusing. I think the non-alcoholic version called Pathways and this other one called Freedom-ish. And the Pathways to Liberation.
They all have the same color. So you don't know if yours is alcoholic or not until you... Right. That was part of the confusion. I'm like, these three beers all have, well, this name is long, and this one has a portion of the name, and this one has a different portion of the name. So you just want to make sure you're getting the one that's the beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we stumbled over that for a second, but we got there.
You think. I didn't have that. I probably got whatever the Mexican lager was, or I forget what I had.
Pathways of Liberation was a beer that included, what did it have? Hibiscus, strawberry, and key lime.
Right. And you said this tasted like Rosa.
You know, it's funny. JB's like, it's going to taste like hibiscus, and that's all you're going to taste. And I was like, oh, fuck, I've had Rosa. And hibiscus is a very strong flavor. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I hope that's not true. But then we drank it, and I'm like, you know, strawberry and lime are playing a backseat to this hibiscus. I'm like, this is Sketchbook's answer to Rosa. That was a conversation we had when we were sitting in their lovely front yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny, actually. Yeah. So I'm like, he called it. And I was rooting against it being true, and it was true.
Yeah, you were hoping that, like, lime came through a little more or something.
Like, bring it on. Yeah. Mm. And or, the you know, just the saisonness of it.
Right.
But I think, I've never had hibiscus outside of a beer. I've had it in Rosa, and I've had it here.
Oh, you haven't had tea?
No.
Like hibiscus tea?
So, now that I drink hibiscus, did you hear that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, hibiscus is a very powerful adjunct. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Very powerful.
Yeah. All right. we're at Sketchbook. I know Sean Curry. We're trying to set up an interview there. He asked who we want to talk to. Like, are we talking to, like, new crew? Are we talking?
Who's our brewer? Because we met the guy. Oh, Sacer. Sacer, you know, the guy who won the Boston Beer Company Award.
The DJ teacher?
No, Cesar Marone.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he hung out with us last time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was an electronic teacher. This was like...
No, that's two interviews I listened to. I got to listen to our Sketchbook interview, and I got to listen to...
I thought he dropped weird thing that he was like, oh, yeah, I'm also an EDM teacher.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah, we hear... We hear the animals outside.
We got to pause this shit. We got to get the strap.
No.
Is everything cool?
No. It should be fine.
All right.
They're not in the house.
All right.
They're outside. doing something.
Okay.
So yeah, and then we.
My immediate response to that is violence. Like, let's go get it.
What, are you gonna like fight a bird? I think the bird's like on the roof or something, or maybe just right here in like the nest.
That's a fair question. I don't know who we talked to at Sketchbook. I think maybe whoever the GM is at Sketchbook Skokie. Maybe them, plus run it back with either, well, Sean will be there. Right. And then run it back with either the brewmaster or the head brewer at that location.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think if you got a brewmaster and two locations, then the lead brewer is probably going to hang out there at this location more.
Probably, yeah.
It was the folks who hang out there the most, and then we would talk to them.
So that was a nice little bike ride, no stops on the way back. Just ended up coming back and doing campfire and some bourbon wine.
Fucking, yeah. Sangria. Bourbon sangrias from, yeah. Yeah, and those things. Yeah. I remember that.
So I feel like that's a good ride for anyone in Chicago that's looking for like a not too far ride. It's kind of where you start that will dictate. Printer's Row might be farther if you're starting from like Wicker Park or downtown.
Yeah.
You could probably add like a piece on there if you wanted to, if you're coming downtown, or you start at Peace if you're in Wicker Park and then work your way up to Printer's Row, or start at Rev, Kedzie.
Mm-hmm.
And then work your way to Printer's Row. Because to get to Printer's Row, it's basically you can go down Milwaukee almost the whole way to get up to it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not a bad ride, and Milwaukee has a bike lane. So, and those three breweries are all within about 3 miles of each other. So even if you have one too many at a location, the next one's not that far.
Yeah.
And you can take it easy.
Yeah. Like, you know, I was talking to the lady from what's the crew? Out in Aurora ish.
Skeletonky?
No, the crew that does the lagers. Metal Monkey? The history crew in Geneva.
Yeah.
That crew.
Art history.
Yeah. So they were asking, I got her card and she's like, do you guys get to suburban breweries at all? And I'm like, well, me and Brad were actually just at, you know, Sketchbook and fucking Unani.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's not really the suburbs.
Damn.
And I'm like, actually, ma'am, it does not have a 606 zip code, so it is. But to your point, like, yo, you can leave the city, escape Chicago, and then still be on Milwaukee. And it's an excursion just outside the city. Yeah. I think that's all I was trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry for the ramble.
But yeah, that was a fun little ride. And then we hit a Sox game on Monday.
My man Brad's like, yo, let's go to Sox Park. I'm like, okay. Doesn't take much for me. I'm in.
Okay, you know, yeah.
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
We had Maeve's family was going to come to town, and we had bought tickets for this game, and they ended up backing out. And I knew Nick would be down if you need anyone to take some tickets.
It's one of my only few joys. We do this show, and then I go to Sox Park.
Sometimes you go to Sox Park and then do the show.
And that's it. That's the end of the list. This is my only joy, Brad. This is my only joy in life are these things.
This was my first game of this season, so seeing the Vizzy Social Lounge, which I never went up to the Rev one, so I don't know how much cooler it was, because now it feels like it's like a, if you've ever gone to a convention and you've gone into like a random room and you're like, wait, what's going on here? Oh, we got this product. And you're like, okay, do I leave? What? Okay, bye.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what this room felt like, but also no one's in the bathroom there.
And it's cooler in there. It's cooler. It's probably the temperature-wise, it's probably the coolest location.
And then you can, like, step out onto the viewing deck and be like, oh, this is a great view of the game.
Yeah. So this place has gone from the Miller Lite Party Deck to the Rev Social Tap Room to the Vizzy Hard Seltzer Lounge.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know what Rev was doing in there, but whatever Vizzy is, it's like, you're not, what's happening in this room? Like, did Rev have more stuff in there?
Rev was getting it on. Okay. Rev was getting it on, even down to the paint on the steps on the way up to the room. Okay. And then Rev's branding was a lot more prevalent. And then it was an entire craft list with all their friends. So, you know, your Pipeworks, your 18th Street, your Half Acres, all your Rev stuff, and then all the bobbleheads, all that stuff was in the room.
Okay.
You know, so it was just, and then you could run all your, the Sox are known for their giveaways. So, you know, they had a check-in giveaway, and then they also have, like, you know, your free T-shirt days. But the check-in giveaway, you always redeem it if you want it. You redeem it up in the Rev in Social Town. Okay. So it was always the first stop you make when you get to the park.
Okay.
You know, it was the Rev Social Town.
They did have, which they didn't have in the Craft Cave, they had Bell's Oberon up there, so you could have got your $10 Bell's Oberon.
I thought about you today. Because Bell's Oberon was $12.75 today.
$12.75,
yeah. I'm just like, hey, where to brag gets a load of this shit.
But that's like, that's ballpark prices.
Yes.
Every beer was $12.
Should it be $10 at your local bar? No.
No. At the ballpark, all right. It shouldn't be, but fine. I don't know. But yeah, that was a Monday night game. It was a little hot.
It was hot as fuck, yeah.
But there's lots of cool zones within, like, the Craft Lounge, it's called now. That's nice and cool down there.
And then some of the stores, ideally, would have AC, you know. Not pumping like it should have been.
And then since it was a weekday game, Monday night, it wasn't crowded at all. Like, last time I was there was a Saturday last season. You could barely walk around.
All bets are off, yeah. So, and they were playing, I think, the Red Sox or some shit.
Right, yeah. So a Monday night game against Toronto, he was like, cool, I'll just hang out in the Craft Lounge and watch the game down here and drink better beer.
Yeah. Now, I saw you guys. When we ran into you guys, I don't know, maybe second inning, third inning, I think somebody had a Dovetail. But then, like, what were the beers you hit up, like, before we ran into you?
What did I get? Did I get the Dovetail? No. JB got a wheat ale. Man, I can't remember what I was drinking.
Okay. But there's a cool reel on the feed that just shows all the options. Yeah. There's a ton of options.
I ended up, my first beer was probably one of the lagers. I was like, I'm going to just start with a lager, so I went with that. Yeah. Second beer was, I think, the IPA from Old Irving.
Okay.
Because I wanted something a little bigger. And then I did myself a Vizzy.
I mean, you know. The air conditioning is flowing and fucking Vizzy Lounge. And it's got the
vitamin C.
And then there's also vitamin C.
Mave got the Vizzy. I got a 312, and we went back and forth with that, basically. I was like, that was a beat-up can that...
Hardcore craft beer kind of reminded us of?
Yeah, I was like, I guess.
This fucking guy's got nothing going on.
It's so hard on the south side. I don't know. That's what happens.
And he's like, what's up with that can? I think I went with... I forgot what I fucking went.
Right.
But but it was different. Oh no. The Guppy series. I went with the pineapple Guppy.
Okay.
Yeah, I went with pineapple Guppy.
That's the problem. I think the Craft Lounge is great. You also don't remember sometimes what you had then, because it's like it's a little overwhelming with the options. Like, I love the options, and I don't want to see this go away.
Yeah.
But then I don't remember what I like. All right.
And then a lot of times, you know, they pour it into a big ass 16-ounce cup, and without the cans, tough to remember.
They weren't even. This lady wasn't pouring in the cups. People, you could check out yourself because she was like helping other people or confused. You're just like, I guess I scan mine. I don't.
I'd rather do that and don't put your hands on my fucking can. I'd rather do that. Yeah.
So that was cool, yeah. But then you went again tonight, right?
Yeah, man. Gay Pride night. So then I had to get my Pride shirt because the Pride shirt looks really good. You know, it's one of my favorite shirts.
Nice. Drink anything different?
Tonight? No, I went back to the... Actually, it's funny. I went back to Pineapple Guppy, and then I got the $13 Oberon.
Okay.
I'm like, Brad's going to get a kick out of this. So those are the two beers I had.
Okay.
But I think, you know, I think that's the place I go when I want to drink crews that I like, but I never get around to it.
Right.
So last year it was Blue Island and Pipeworks, and this year...
I didn't see Blue Island there this year.
No. So this year I've just been drinking Pipeworks. Every time I go, I get a Pipeworks
beer.
I don't
even think they have 12-ounce cans.
You know, I haven't been seeing any 12-ounce cans. Everything I've had all year has been like 16.
Or tall. The like real tall
one. Oh, the big 24?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I think when I got the Old Irving IPA... I was like, I shouldn't do this. I get all over me all the time. Yeah. I should drink someone else, but then...
You should have drank around... Oh, I was going to say drink around the bin, but you drink around the bin all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know... They say there's 75 brands, so the third option I would probably get is Pollyanna. Because I never get Pollyanna in the store, but yeah. You can always get Pollyanna.
I almost got, when I got the lager, I almost got the gold medal winner one.
From?
Pollyanna.
Whichever one won the medal. Light Reading.
Light Reading. I almost got that, and then I didn't because I remembered it tasty. I like it, but it had a taste that I was like, I didn't want that right now.
Light Reading, L-I-T-E. So it's kind of a play on just it just being like a light lager.
I wish I could remember off the top of my head what I got. I cannot.
Yeah. I only remember Pipeworks because that's the shit I always get when I'm there. I miss Blue Island being there because I would get them if it was there I'd get that because I like their stuff and I never get it in the store. But yeah, man, Sox Park 75 craft beer options, a lot of them local.
Did you hit up anything else then, or I basically saw you all week? So
it was kind of weird. It was a very weird week. I'm like, man, I saw Brad on Monday. I saw Brad on Saturday at three different stops. It was actually pretty cool. Cheers to the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. They did a golf tournament. The golf tournament was in Western Springs in West Chicago, Illinois. It's actually called Prairie Springs. Full disclosure, West Chicago, Illinois is nowhere near Chicago. It's actually in fucking Kane County, which is basically Aurora.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a little deceiving.
My grandparents lived in West Chicago.
I'm like, why y'all calling it West Chicago? I don't know. It's a clean 90 minutes from where we are right now.
Right. It's
clean.
Next to Batavia, too.
Yeah. It's out there. Yeah. But golf course, 18 holes with the Guild. The Guild likes to start their golf off with a Rev Sun Crusher shotgun.
Okay.
And then you go play 18 holes of golf. Now, I've never played golf, so this is probably normal for people who are listening, but you drive around on this cart with your beer.
That's the, like, only part of golf
I'm like, bro, how come no one told me this shit was this fun? All you do is get hammered all day on a cart with beer, and then, you know, the 16th hole is your refreshment hole, there's beer, and then the ladies from the Guild are riding around on their cart, and all they have is beer for you to get drink.
Okay.
So I'm like, man. This is a good hang, man. I was like really fucking, I was bummed out that this is my first time golfing.
Yeah, I never really golf because I don't really think I'm very good at it. The times I've done it or like the top shot kind of thing. It's like,
oh yeah.
I'm not hitting the ball anywhere near, like we're going to be able to walk to my ball that I just hit because it's not going very far.
Bro, yeah. Shout out to Ray Stout, the old Justin Maynard role, the former Christine Natasi role, is now filled by a gentleman named Ray Stout.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, he got the name for it here. What are you doing here? So he was in my threesome. So it was me, him, and his son actually.
Okay.
And you know we got two carts and we're whipping around this thing, fucking drinking beers, playing golf. But yeah, to your point, the hole is like 500 yards from where you start.
Right.
I mean, this is ridiculous. There's no way.
Anyone listening to this is like, yeah, that's all golf works.
He's like, it's called golf, dickhead.
It's far. You got to get to it.
Yeah. Your mini golf game transfers very well, but the driver game, forget it.
Right. You're fucked. I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
I don't. My dad lives on two golf courses.
Oh, shit.
Like one in this state and one in Nevada. And I don't know shit about coffee. My little brother, he's pretty good at it.
Man, I'm playing with this 11-year-old kid, and his kid's like, no. You got to make sure you hit it in see that line on the driver? You make sure you hit it there. Like, use your six iron, not your three iron. I'm like, you're 11. How do you know what's the difference between the six and the three iron? It was great, though. I had a good time. Oh, but the whole point was I ended up drinking a lot of Suburb beer that I don't really drink all the time. So I had Penrose. I had Will County Brewing for the first time. Okay. Moore was there. Cheers to Moore. And there's one other crew that I was drinking that I haven't had. Art History.
Okay.
I drank their stuff. So some of the Guild initiatives are, the big one is direct to consumer, right? So we're playing golf, but they're like the next day they're flying to Washington because they want to lobby for direct to consumer.
Oh, I saw Kevin from Beguile was there because he showed Marley he showed some pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like if you do direct to consumer, you have to get the mail system on board, right? Yeah. Because it's kind of not legal to send beer in the mail.
Okay.
What else?
The Postmaster General is not a friendly guy, so they're not going to. He's like a Trump-appointed guy that Biden didn't get rid of. So
that's funny. We talked about how wine's been doing this for 20 years, and the biggest opposition is distributors because they think, well, you're going to ruin everything if customers can just get their shit mailed to them. But, you know, the wine experienced an all-time high in sales when they went direct-to-consumer 20 years ago.
Okay.
So that's the argument that the Guild has.
Right? That'd be probably great for mail. Like, people
pay more shit. You pay more, yeah.
I don't trust the mail in Chicago to, like, ship me some beer here.
Yeah. I'm sending my shit overnight. Don't waste any time. Hurry up and bring it.
I would, but we know, like, different states have different rules, so you can't even ship wine to every state.
Yeah. Or bourbon. You can't ship bourbon to every single state.
But why can't they get the direct consumer with the, we saw during COVID? Like, why? I feel like that should also be part of the direct consumer.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what they're fighting for.
I would rather see that over mailing beer from San Diego. Like, I just want I want Salamoth to be able to deliver my beer to me rather than me having to be like, all right, well, I went to the liquor store and they didn't have this one. I really wanted this beer. So
yeah, I hope they pull that off. We talked about Bug and we talked about Phobab. Phobab is the first week in November this year.
Okay.
So I think that's 3rd, 4th, and 5th of November. And then we talked about Bug and how Bug, the all-time most attended Bug, had 2,000 people at Garfield Park. And I think they had 600 people this at Beer in the Glass. But they had to pivot at the last minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, their interest didn't align with the interest of the Garfield Park Conservatory. So Bug, as we know it, is done for good.
Okay.
After the rumors, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked.
I feel like we're the only people talking about these rumors, man, right?
I mean, I don't know if we're the only ones that care or the only ones that have, like, you know, just had some conversations about it.
We're
but
basically now saying Bug will not be at Garfield Park Conservatory again.
Bug is 100% never going to be at Garfield Park again.
Okay.
Yeah, which is that's kind of bittersweet, actually, because I think that's, you know, I think that's our, of course, Phobab's our finest hour, but I think the best fest in the city is Bug.
Yeah.
You know, for what it represents, and then where it is, and then, you know, the kind of selection you can get there. I think Bug's where it's at. So that is kind of, that sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we got to talk about shit like that.
Right. I think another topic maybe for another episode is the Beer Fest event. Like Bug or something like that, dead. But I think we'll save that for another episode because we're already 40 minutes in. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah. And you're right. I think other conversations, because, you know, I'm in this threesome with, you know, Ray Stout. And, you know, he talks about, you know, the shit they're working on. And that's one of them. Like, hey, I think you know, we have to be honest about the state of the Beer Fest.
Yeah.
You know, and then what do we do to pivot from that? Because, you know, Beer Fest, as we know it, is dead. They talked about maybe doing a public version of this golf tournament. Because there is one of these craft beer groups, maybe the Craft Beer Alliance. Microphone sponsors a hole. More sponsors a hole. And it's a public event.
Yeah.
So what about doing something like that where it's not as, you know, tightly, you know, confined as a Beer Fest?
That could be fun. More experiences versus, like, let's get drunk.
Yeah, because that's, yeah, exactly.
Because you're not, yeah. But all right, we'll save that. I got ideas. Okay. I don't want to get into this now.
Yeah, for sure. But cheers to the Guild. It was fun hanging out with them.
Cool. The only other bit of news that I saw or that John Curry mentioned, he said Only Child is done.
Yeah, you know, what I've heard about this, and I don't know how true it is, but, you know, that the guy who founded Only Child found out that he was no longer an Only Child.
Oh.
Right, like he had a long lost relative. So then the name Only Child.
23 to meet it.
So then the name Only Child doesn't apply anymore. But then also he had some distribution issues in Illinois where they were just being difficult, and he would rather just sell his beer in Wisconsin. So he's actually leaving the state to go sell beer in Wisconsin. That's what's being said.
Okay. And Pip's Meadery. Pip. They're going into the space or they're
The world's greatest meadery, depending on who you ask.
Oh, really?
Yeah, up in they're based in Gurnee, but super tiny tap room, very small, limited distro. As far as like very limited releases, probably no distro. The most sought after meadery, because it's very hard to get, and it's also pretty good too.
Huh, okay.
I drove to fucking Highland Park and met a guy in a weird parking lot, you know, and then gave him a bottle of Blanton's to get this little last bottle of fucking Pips Mead that was no bigger than this than this Beguile can I'm having. And I'm just like, this is not a fair trade. But at the same time, this is the only way I'm ever going to try this fucking mead.
Okay.
There's a lot of that going on. People trading PlayStation 4s, Pappy Van Winkle.
For Pips?
For fucking mead, Brad. This is very real. Where you go, you hang out with some of the guys. I was hanging out with some guys at Goose Tap Room, and they had went to the Microphone Beer Fest a couple years ago. And they're like, yeah, they had Pips in VIP. We're at a beer fest. The first keg to kick was the mead.
What?
At the beer fest. Like, you're at a fucking beer fest. The first thing to blow is the mead. I'm like, that is hilarious.
Wow.
So, but to give you some idea of, like, how people really, really are after this shit.
Crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Good for Pips.
Pips. Brad's just like, this name's funny to say.
All right. Well, I think we'll end it on that.
Okay.
Nice. Unless you had anything else?
No, man. I think that's it.
All right, we're going to get out of here, hop on the bike. So obviously, I'm going to go down to New Orleans. I'm going to drink some New Orleans beer.
Oh, shit. That sounds nice.
I'll be down there.
I'm a little jealous. I haven't been anywhere all year.
It's going to be so hot.
It's hot as fuck, Brad.
Yeah, it's a swamp. Swamp and hot.
Swamp ass. Beer yeah. Pass.
Yeah. but I'll be down there. But we'll be back. Should be back next week with another episode. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Nick might be at Friday Night Flights.
Yeah. I'll be in beautiful Bridgeport. I haven't been in forever to Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, nice.
So it's going to be at Maria's.
Cool. And that'll do it. Take care.
Cheers.